In this era of grave spiritual crisis, it is not enough to simply know about your Catholic faith. That is why we need a Catholic toolbox to equip us with the practical skills necessary to live our Catholic faith to reach our ultimate goal, which is heaven for all eternity. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. for the Catholic Toolbox as we hand you the tools to go forth, live the faith, and change our modern world today. Live on the Voice of Charity. And welcome back to another week on the Catholic Toolbox, the art of practical Catholicism. Host and founder George Manasseh here on 1701 AM, Voice of Charity Radio Network, and also live here on Cradio, which is Parousia Media's online radio, this week, especially from the studio. And for those discerning good Catholic education for their children, we're especially addressing a two-part series here tonight, discussing Catholic education here with Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers, who's also a father and will impart this wisdom. Welcome aboard, Deacon Harold, tonight.
It's great to be with you again, George. Thank you for having me, Deacon.
To have you here, especially the United States of America. I know it's a crazy time for you guys with the election leading up. It's actually coming very close. It's the first day of spring here in Sydney, Australia, and we're already discussing, you know, summer plans and will COVID be over? Will there be a vaccine? Will there be... And, you know, hopefully it's a springtime for the church now, especially with Catholic education and with people coming back to the faith, having learnt something from COVID-19 and the struggles that we went through. Hopefully there's some positivity that will come out of it, Deacon.
Yeah, I definitely think so. You know, this has been a challenging time for so many people, for parents, for children. It's about the model of education. Many students, including my own here in the States, my oldest daughter went back to college, but my other college student and my high school students are all doing classes online. It's a tremendous challenges. In addition to the other challenges that we're going to talk about to Catholic education, now you have the COVID-19 restrictions and all the changes that had to happen there. And it very is a challenging time, but I think it's also an incredible opportunity. You know, I think God is speaking to us in a very direct way through this coronavirus. I think he's waking us up and reminding us that, excuse me, I'm still here, you know, and God can only be mocked for so long. You know, we've been, as a world, we've been heading down this dark road for a long time. And if God gives us opportunities to correct ourselves, but if he doesn't, as we've seen many, many times in the scriptures, God will correct it for us, right? Exactly. So when the Israelites in their relationship with God couldn't get it right, he said, well, Babylon will do it. You know, so I think this is a little bit of a course correction for us. And so I hope we have an opportunity not to be afraid and live in fear, but an opportunity to love more deeply and fall in love with Christ and with our faith more deeply during this time.
Exactly, definitely, Deacon. And during this time for parents, especially in those in... discerning Catholic education as prospective parents, let's say myself, how we can better understand and appreciate Catholic education, especially in the schooling system, and then find practical ways where we can discern correctly where can we best discern Catholic education for our children, especially in a modern society today, which attacks and undermines the faith. What is the best way to go about Catholic education? There's so much debate around, do we homeschool? Do we go to certain schools, a handful of schools, you know, around different cities? Do we just go public? Where do we go? And which schools? How can we discern best? What's the best way to give a good Catholic education, upbringing the faith, and creating well-rounded children who will bring the faith, live the faith for our modern world for the future? If you can enlighten us, Deacon, with a bit about the history, the heritage of good Catholic education.
Well, the Catholic Church actually founded the modern education system. Really? You know, law, science, political theory, philosophy, many of those disciplines were actually developed by the Catholic Church herself. So the Catholic Church has always been intimately involved in education, but always with a lens toward discovering the fullness of truth. Because that's the key, is discovering what the fullness of truth is. And of course, looking at our relationship with God and with the world and with each other and with nature, seeing through the different disciplines of education. And the task of the Catholic school in that educational process is to synthesize culture and faith, to integrate human knowledge to the subjects that are taught in light of the gospel, so that there's a connection between the faith, our faith, and the everyday lived experience, understanding the world around us and our place in the world and the disciplines of science and philosophy through the virtues that are given to us by the church. And so that's what's supposed to be happening. Now, remember, parents are the primary educators of their children.
The parents.
One of the ends or the purposes of marriage is the procreation and education of children. And the problem, George, has been that I think for going on for a long time now, parents have outsourced their responsibility of teaching their children the faith. So, we will drive them to soccer, we'll drive them to basketball, we'll take them to their athletic events, to ballet, and to all these extracurricular activities. But when it comes to the faith, sadly, many parents will say, well, father will do it, the parish will do it, Catholic schools will do it, youth group will do it, which is fine. But here's the thing, those Catholic schools and those other institutions exist to support what's supposed to be going on at home, not take the place of it. So, because at home is where young people learn to fall in love with Jesus. The schools and the parishes, those are places where the kids get the head knowledge, but then they need to take that math, knowledge that they're science, learning about Jesus, physics, bring it home, yep. and see it being lived out in the everyday lived experience of family life, which St. John Paul II called the domestic church, the church of the home. That's where the education is supposed to take place. So it's up to the parents to decide how they deliver that Catholic education. And you said it, some of the vehicles there, George, you said it's homeschooling, there's Catholic schools, and for sometimes for financial reasons, people send their kids to public school, but then they'll go to the parish for the Catholic education piece. But the one thing that I think that we need to probably improve more than any other area is teaching the faith to our children at home, especially through the lived experience of that faith.
Exactly, because there's so many frustrated parents out there who express to me, where can we send our kids? They're frustrated with schools, their kids are leaving the faith and they're going off to university and leaving home and then abandoning the faith altogether, and they're looking at pointing the finger at the schools, but then not then taking the responsibility that it's the parents' responsibility. Parents are the primary educators of the faith. And you can get no Catholic education where in the schooling system, whichever path you choose. If your parents practicing the faith, your parents will catechize you there and then, catechetically, and also through the practice of the faith. The example is greatest chism. We can learn the faith by living it. We have that firsthand experience of living the faith. But so many people, they look at it and they say, oh, well, society is changing. Society is really moving towards a secular direction. They want to teach our kids sorts of things. What can parents, if you can give us three practical tips here tonight for those listening, and this is going to be a shorter episode. There won't be time for any questions here tonight for those listening and tuning in live due to the heavy nature of this topic, actually. But I really want to leave our listeners with three practical tips about how discerning families, discerning marriage with children, already children in schools, how can they best discern the avenue for their children going to school? I understand the first step is living it and teaching their kids and catechizing. You're the primary educators. It's not anybody's job. You need to be on top of that as parents. Then which direction where they have to outsource the responsibilities? Surely will be influenced wherever you go outside the realm of the family. they're going to choose paths? What's the best way to discern how they're going to teach the modes? Make sure that getting it check from home. And then they need to tick the box, check. Are they getting it wherever they study the matters and the sciences? Then check, are they at the parish? Are they getting formation from the parish? The three pillars are the school, the family, school, and the parish. Those three. The second one, obviously, at the school, or whichever mode of education they choose. What are three practical tips, deacon, as a deacon, a father? You may even want to share what you're doing for your children and their education, or what you've done in the past. What are three practical tips here tonight for those in Australia discerning Catholic education?
Well, I want to, before I give the three tips, I want to make sure that we understand the situation that's going on. In the past, maybe 20, 30 years ago, you send your kid to school knowing that they're going to go to the school and they're going to learn the Catholic faith. But now it's not so sure for a number of reasons.
Really?
One, a lot of the secular ideology and the secular culture has been making its way into the schools. So you have teachers now, although they're teaching in Catholic schools and they're getting a paycheck, they actually don't believe in the faith themselves.
Really?
And
so
and they're passing that on to the children. And so even though they're going to Catholic school, it's not soaked in the Catholic ethos, if you will. Mm. So basically, if when that happens, it becomes, George, a very expensive public school. You see what's going on there. Parents have to be aware and alert and involved in the schools and in the parish to make sure that what they're learning is actually in line with teachings of the church. So here's the things that we did when we were looking at how to do this. First of all, I think I am a proponent of homeschooling. We did not do it ourselves. I think you have to have a certain kind of a personality for homeschooling.
Imagine the demand, Deacon. 8 hours a day where, you know, most parents, you know, enjoy dropping their kids off to school. This is my time to go shopping, my time, and then, you got to take the kids all day. Yeah, so it's an interesting.
Yeah. So one of the things that, because I grew up with Catholic education, so that's what I was used to, and that's what we supported here. And so you want to make sure that wherever vehicle that you're using, homeschooling, the parish or the school, that they're creating an atmosphere of prayer, right? It's not just, okay, come and learn a bunch of stuff. You have to tie the head and the heart. So they should be attending Mass at least every week if it's a Catholic school. They should have opportunities for the kids to go to confession. They should be teaching the basics and fundamentals of the faith. And what happens, these kids have questions about what they're learning. They should be able to go home and the parents should ask, wait, what kinds of things are you learning in your religion class today? Let me take a look at your textbook to make sure that the book that you're using is faithful to the church. Does it have an imprimatur? Does it have the permission from the church
for those listening
to be able to teach the faith?
What's an
so you can be confident, you know?
Excellent.
That's definitely one thing you want to do. Another thing I think practically you want to do is affirm, to take the things that they're learning at school and find practical ways to live them out at home. So, for example, one of the things that we did was that we would read the gospel for the coming Sunday at our dinner table sometime during that week, and then we'd have a discussion about it. You know, so as they're learning these parables and stories of Jesus in school, we're also talking about them at home and giving our kids an opportunity to hear us talk about the scriptures and apply them to their everyday lived experience so that the disconnect doesn't happen. You know, because when they leave and go to college, you know, and let's just face it, a lot of these schools are indoctrination centers now. For
exactly.
More relativism,
yeah.
For atheists and agnostics, and you know, that's what these schools are now.
Put your hand up, and the bell rings,
you have to make sure that we're counteracting that.
Exactly, yeah, because the bell rings. I mean, you have to put your hand up. It's sort of like you can't question what the teacher says. I actually enjoyed school because I had a great experience because I actually thought outside the box a lot of the time. Sometimes, you know, the parent-teacher interviews, I'd just go, I'd pick which teachers I want to speak to. I mean, a lot of it's not, from my experience at least, it's not genuine. I mean, it's not genuine education anymore. And I always used to question the system. That's something I enjoyed as a kid. And I had great supportive parents who supported me in questioning the system itself. I mean, it's an important thing that you mentioned, Deacon, that have become indoctrination camps, basically, a lot of the time. Not in all situations, but depends on the experience, depends on wherever you are. I mean, this is very generic, I mean, stuff that we're speaking about. That's very important. And
a couple other important things, George. One, we have to make sure that these schools are teaching our young people how to think. Because a lot of schools are teaching our children what to think, not how to think, logically, critically, analytically. And so what happens is there's an issue that comes up that's that's in our culture today, that's contentious, that's emotional, and instead of being able to, okay, let's just stop, let's get rid of the emotion, let's think through this issue, let's look at it objectively from both sides, and let's work our way to determining what is true and good and beautiful. That's instead of that, they're just being taught what to think. We want to make sure that we're immersing our kids in a system where they're, again, learning to be logical, analytical, independent thinkers, not just being, again, drawn into a way of thinking that's going to lead them down a path of separating themselves from the life of the church. And then finally, I said the third thing would be virtues. Make sure that they're learning virtuous living in the schools. And the analogy I like to use is often with music, right? So if you hear a musician who's proficient in their instrument, a virtuoso guitar player, a violin player, a piano player, they spend hours and hours and hours practicing over the course of their life. They sacrificed even some good things, spending time with their friends, watching television, so that they could be masters of their craft. And the same thing should happen spiritually. Catholic education needs to be soaked in the virtue so that so as they're learning the faith, they're also practicing the faith. They're actually living the faith virtuously because they're building up that spiritual muscle memory that they're going to take forward in their life. So that so just like a piano player practices, they become proficient. We become proficient in our faith when we actually practice and live out our faith. And Catholic education should be helping to facilitate that process.
Exactly. I mean, and it's often debated with the best methods and the what's the most people debate traditional methods that, it's never really went to a school, from 8:30 to 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It was really the parents teaching them and they went to school part-time, really. And so therefore, homeschooling is the best method. And, after church on Sundays, I always get into conversations with people who have families and they always bring it up, are you going to homeschool your kids? Are you going to go to certain schools around Sydney? Have good reputations? Do we go to public schools? Do we go to other schools? Do we go to whichever school? But what do you think about the debate between homeschooling and the mainstream schooling?
Well, there doesn't have to be a controversy. Both of them are legitimate ways to educate your children. But again, it has to be a decision that parents make together. What's the best for our family and what's the best for our situation? Because homeschooling, it means that one parent's going to have to stay at home. Exactly. And we live in a culture, sadly, where just because of the economics, sometimes both parents have to work. But that's just a reality for a lot of people. I know parents that one parent would want to stay home, but sometimes both have to work. And so homeschooling doesn't work for them. But if you're able to do it, I think that's a very legitimate option. I think, sadly, there's been some misnomers and some stereotypes that have been attributed to homeschooling that I don't think is fair. For example, the children won't be well-rounded. They won't be socially adjusted. Wow. They don't know how to interact with people. That's ridiculous. One of the most intelligent young people. I mean, homeschooling kids, what I notice about them? For example, when I go and meet a young person today, like at a conference or something, and I walk up and I go to shake their hand, the kids that, are in the school system, sometimes, they won't look you in the eye and they have their head down and they'll like weakly shake your hand. Whereas a homeschooling kid will look you in the eye and stick it and give you a firm handshake and they're confident, And I see a lot of the category and they're crazy smart too. Exactly. I knew a homeschooling kid that was 17 years old, finished college, all right, uni at 19, and then went on to get a doctoral degree, which they finished at 22. So by the age that most young people are graduating from uni, this person has their PhD already. So there's some great advantages to homeschooling. So people should not be afraid or be stigmatized because they're homeschoolers. And the same thing, if you make a decision to send your children to Catholic school, you better make sure as a parent you are involved in that school, that you are involved in your children's lives as they're going to school.
Exactly.
So that's really important.
Practical tip number one is obviously be on top. If you're sending him to a mainstream school, wherever it is, you need to be on top. You need to know what they're being taught, who are the teachers, who's the principal. You need to be asking these questions. You need to be micromanaging the teacher. You are the principal person in charge of the education of these children. And if you're outsourcing elements, you're the primary educator, but if you're outsourcing elements, which is going to a school, the teacher, the math, science, and of course some of the faith, not all of it's going to be taught there. The mainstream education of the faith comes from you. You need to be on top of it and managing it. It's important that you mention Deacon about homeschooling. Some of the most intelligent people I've met have been homeschooled. Why? Because they weren't used to this 8 to 3 routine of bells, ringing, being told by someone who's not from your family, a foreign person, what to believe, what to think, what we do in society. There's nothing wrong with that, but it's just amazing that someone can graduate at 19 years old and have a PhD by 22, bypassing the mainstream way of doing things. I mean, it's so innovative. I mean, I actually thought about that myself, that, you know, I got sick of school in the year 10th grade, that you call it in the United States, like year 10 here. I just took up, back then at Catholic Adult Education Center, a course, two courses. I was sick of it. I was just like, I'm not going to study some subjects. I'm just going to go here, study some theology. I want to start learning the faith, you know. So I was the youngest person there in the Catholic Adult Education Center here in Sydney, learning my faith, doing that. I had to even take a day off school to do it, you know, because I saw that, you know, I was trying to be innovative. What do I need? What don't I need, you know? What's going to help me for my future in my faith? Amazing to look at alternative ways. You know, sometimes your kids can get ahead by employing homeschooling if it works in your situation. I want to discuss, it's great discussing the advantages of homeschooling tonight. So parents know it's an option. There's online resources. You have to go to your teaching, but wherever you are, Australia, your local state teaching body issues the requirements for homeschooling. You can do a lot of it online. I mean, really, schools, to be honest, universities now, everything's online. Schools are going to turn online, you know. You can just do it by correspondence. We learnt through COVID-19. So why not just do the whole thing online and get together with good Catholic families? There's a lot of talk now for the future. Good Catholic families in my circles, you know, who are discerning marriage, preparing for marriage, already married. You know, how are we going to educate our children? There's big talk about, I think, 5-6 families together, or a couple, 2-3 families. You know, you could start with 2 families. We have different children interacting with different children. Start, you know, getting maybe one person out of everybody else and chipping in, like finding a vicinity where we can teach these kids and homeschooling, but doing it together as different families. It's an innovative way. If parents want to make sure they're on top of the education of their children in the faith, first and foremostly, and in the maths and sciences and humanities. But there's no point in learning maths, science, physics, chemistry, all these things if you're losing your soul. No point.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right, George. I think in the States, by the way, we call that our cooperative homeschooling model. So what typically happens, George, in some ways that homeschooling education is delivered. So you'll be home with your own homeschooling family like Monday through Thursday, and then Friday is a cooperative learning day. And so you'll get together with other homeschooling families, and they'll have a cooperative learning day where all the kids are learning together. You know, so that brings in that social interaction and those pieces that people often criticize homeschoolers about. But you're right. I mean, what I love about homeschooling, they're teaching these kids again how to think logically and critically. They're not just learning math. They're thinking about how to think about math. They're learning the philosophy behind mathematics. You know, and so they're much more deeper thinkers, much more logical thinkers, much more practical thinkers. And I think that cooperative model kind of brings it all together. So some very good things there, George. And one thing you want to be careful about with the schools as well, I'm not sure, I want to make sure this is how it works in Australia. Does the government supplement Catholic schools, private schools in Australia?
I'm not sure about any system, and I may be wrong. I think it does, perhaps. They do,
because I know, for example, in Canada, that's the case where the Catholic schools are funded by the government. So you got to be careful. Exactly. Because when that happens, if the government says, you need to teach this,
we're giving you money.
Because we see that happening in Canada and a few other countries, by the way, too, in Europe,
exactly,
where this is the case. So, the Catholic schools are being forced to teach things that aren't part of the Catholic faith. Or there's tension there, you know, because it has to do with the money. So I think,
exactly,
personally, I think that Catholic schools shouldn't take any money from the government at all. That way you're not beholden to them, and you can go ahead and teach our faith without any reliance on the government. But I think because this is very expensive to do it that way. So I think you're right, George. I think with the online model now, I think you still need that interactive piece, George. Why? Because we're an incarnational church.
Absolutely.
Right? The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus touched us with his own hands and loved us with his own heart. So that personal interaction for us as Catholics is still very important. So if you're going to do homeschooling, I think that cooperative learning piece is going to be important.
Absolutely. And what's actually amazing is, and I want to point this out because I do a lot of research on Jewish education. And, I look at their models of education. It's quite a little bit different. It's probably not correct on all schools of thought in Judaism, but they often, and correct me if I'm wrong, and I could be wrong, anybody Jewish here can email me at thecatholictoolbox@gmail.com and correct me, but they seem to really place an emphasis on critical thinking. I mean, the tradition in Judaism is that they want to be arguing all the time. They teach you how to think. They taught you to question things, ask questions, get your brain working. Don't just accept this answer as gospel. You know, the television tells you something. A teacher in the classroom tells you something. We can't just nod and say yes and wait to put our hands up. Question things. Use your brain. Don't assume everything is right just because someone poses to be credible. I'm not saying that they're not, but in question what I'm saying, question what Deacon is saying. We need to start thinking like that again. And it's very important to state that. And I think it's very important that, you know, families do band together, regardless. You know, if you're going to go send your kids to a school or if you're going to actually hire a facility and bring 3-4 families together and let's hire a teacher and we all just chip in or teach our kids ourselves or teach several families in the same classroom. These are great innovative ideas. Have discussions, pair together with Catholic, there's plenty of them. We're all banding together, all cooperating together as good Catholics, a lot of us in different parishes. And people are asking questions, what are alternative ways to teach? And how can we better be involved in the schools, wherever they are, which schools? So I think it's important for us to think for ourselves and take these 3 practical tips here on board, Deacon. You've really enlightened us here tonight with what you've told us here. So what would your... what would your final words be as encouragement for parents? They're seeing a society, waves of modernism through society. What's some words that we can be encouraged by?
I think one of the things that parents need to do, in addition to all the wonderful things that we both talked about tonight, I think the bottom line is that they need to be themselves engaged, invested, and involved in the educational process. So if they're going to drop their kids off, for example, for some educational program at the parish, don't just go off and, you know, get a drink somewhere or, you know, oh, I got to go back. I got to be back in an hour and a half to pick my kid up. You know, maybe the parish should provide an opportunity for the adults to be learning as well. I would love to see a model, George, where when the parents are dropping their kids off, instead of driving away and going to do something else, that maybe there's a parallel program where the parents are actually learning and deepening their faith themselves. Why? That way they can have much more robust and deeper discussions at home. You know, so it's not just like, because if we don't make that connection, George, what happens is these kids will learn these things of the faith. And if they don't see the connection of the lived experience at home, if they're not having these discussions with their parents, if they're not learning from their parents how to think critically about these issues and always searching for truth, then it just becomes another class that they have to take.
Exactly.
Math, who's English, science, anyway? Language arts, yeah. Religion class.
Yeah.
And that's definitely not where we want to be as a church and as parents as we look to the future and want to make sure that our kids are well-rounded, that we're taking a holistic approach, and that we're praying as we're learning. Because the law of prayer, right? is the law of belief. Exactly. Right? So,
thank you very much.
Lex orandi, lex credendi. The law of prayer is the law of belief. So how we pray also speaks to what we believe. And so, I think that needs to be that very deep, holistic approach to education.
Exactly. And lex vivendi, how we then live.
Yes. Yes,
great.
Exactly.
Thank you very much, Deacon. It's been an absolute pleasure having you here tonight. Short and sweet here in Australia and those around the world listening here, how to discern good Catholic education. Be sure to subscribe and download the Catholic Toolbox podcast to re-listen to any of our episodes. And don't forget, you can also stay tuned with us here by following us on Instagram. So The Catholic Toolbox Show on Instagram or The Catholic Toolbox on Facebook Live. Thank you very much, Deacon.
Thank you, George.
Thank you very much. God bless you. Thank you for tuning into The Catholic Toolbox, The Art of Practical Catholicism. I'm your host and founder, George Manassa. Until next week, God bless, care, and take action. In this era of grave spiritual crisis, it is not enough to simply know about your Catholic faith. That is why we need a Catholic toolbox to equip us with the practical skills necessary to live our Catholic faith to reach our ultimate goal, which is heaven for all eternity. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. for the Catholic Toolbox as we hand you the tools to go forth, live the faith, and change our modern world today. Live on the Voice of Charity.